This might come as a shock, but bird couples divorce sometimes.
Well, naturally, it's an adaptive strategy. If you've had poor reproductive success with a particular mate, maybe it's better for both members of that pair to seek new mates or new territories with new mates to try reproducing again.
That's John Marsliff. He's a professor of forest sciences at the University of Washington and the author of the book Welcome to Suburbia. Marsliff says some bird species divorce when human development expands into their habitat. He told Jeannie Yandel they're known as avoider species.
So a good species here would be the Pacific wren or the Swainson's thrush. Those birds are kind of forced to divorce by our activities. We remove some of their habitat. They leave and go to a new place. They don't appear to do so as a couple. Instead, one of them goes or they both go different places. They end up in a new spot with a new mate. So they've divorced because we know their other mate was still alive. And they do poorly in that situation. In contrast, in the natural situation, when they divorce after failure, they do better with the new mate. And in this case, they're doing worse.
What does that look like? What does it mean for one of these avoider bird species to do poorly?
What it means is that they probably don't produce young that year. They might indeed get a mate. They might even have eggs or chicks with that mate, but they are not going to fledge young and have young succeed to leave the territory and colonize new areas. And that's the ultimate measure of success for a bird each year. Do they produce young that leave the nest and fly, either migrate like some species or just disperse locally?
Are they able to continue their species, basically?
Right. That's the key. They've got to be able to continue that.
You looked at specific places on the east side where this human-bird interface is causing bird divorce. Where specifically did you study this?
We studied it in places like Issaquah Highlands, up around North Bend, and out around Woodinville. So kind of all the urbanizing fringe of Seattle, where there's lots of forest converted to developments in the last decade or so.
So what does it mean for the birds there that we keep kind of encroaching on their space in places like North Bend and Issaquah Highlands?
Yeah, it kind of depends on what bird you ask. But if you ask the overall bird community, it's a benefit. We actually increase the diversity of birds that live in those forested areas by interspersing human built structures, by interspersing retention ponds that we also build, and other sorts of habitats we create like ball fields or golf courses or parks. So that mixture relative to what was all forest increases the diversity of birds. But it depends, again, on the kind. So these avoiders we were talking about, they decline. Others that adapt or exploit humans, they increase in their diversity and abundance.
I'm talking with John Marsliff. He's a professor of forest sciences at the University of Washington, and he's the author of the book Suburbia, which looks at what happens when birds and humans interface, interact with each other. And we have some species that are doing well, some species, the avoider species, that are doing poorly because of us. So then what does that mean overall for birds that live in this area?
Right. We've got a changing community of birds is what it means. And that it's a richer community. So it's one for people to celebrate and interact with and understand. But it's different than what would have been here if we were all relatively undisturbed forest. And it's hard to say, is that good or bad? I mean, it's different. It's a change. It's a response to the things we do, the habitat. And my feeling is that as long as we remember that these avoiders also require reserves far away from us, then we can provide for both a lot of human interaction with interesting species that live with us and a place for avoiders to survive as well.
Ultimately, why should we care that our bird community is changing here? That for some species it's a good thing, for these avoider species it may not be such a good thing. Why should we care about that?
We should care because it really puts the onus on us to think broadly about biodiversity. There's a lot of biodiversity that basically will be fine along with us. And we don't have to do a lot. We do have to keep things diverse, and we can do things to accentuate the diversity here. But it puts the onus on us to also realize that some birds don't do well, and a lot of mammals and amphibians and reptiles don't do well, and they require more secluded places like our watershed reserves in Redmond or Kirkland or out on the Green River and places like that, Cedar River. So those are critical parts of our environment that serve species that aren't able to adapt with us.
What specifically can we do to minimize the forced bird divorce of these avoider species?
Probably not much. What we've got to do for that is provide safe havens for avoiders. And we've got to provide, again, reserves far away, places like the Cedar River Watershed Reserve or the Kirkland Watershed Reserve. Those are important recreational places. They're important ecosystem service places for us to get clean water. They also provide fantastic habitat for birds that can divorce adaptively instead of being forced to. But as we develop areas, the birds that avoid those developments are going to decline. I mean, there's no doubt about that. And so are the large mammals that don't get along with us. And so are the amphibians and reptiles that don't. So providing these reserves for those species is absolutely part of the biodiversity message of celebrating the great diversity that is around us and can evolve and adapt to our presence.
John Marsliff is a professor of forest sciences at the University of Washington and the author of the book Welcome to Suburbia. He spoke with Jeannie Yandel. And Bernard, if birds do get divorced and we know there's bird song, does that mean there's bird breakup song?
Bye-bye, birdie.
50 ways to leave your plover. You're listening to The Record on KUOW.